good song. Amen. Just remain standing and turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16 for our text tonight. Amen. Amen. I didn't know that song. I probably have heard it before. We may have sung it before since I've been here. I don't remember. But that's a good song. Amen. And I hope we'll keep stepping in the light and walking, amen, in the ways of the Lord. And amen, amen. A lot of those old songs have great meaning if we just catch hold to it. Amen. That one, by the way, that one I sang on Rock of Ages talks about the double cure. Not only saves me from wrath, but makes me pure. I'm glad God didn't just save me from my sin, but He cleansed me from my sin. Amen. Amen. Got me out and then cleaned me up. And I'm glad that is right. And that is a work of grace. Amen. And I don't believe it's grace that keeps you and allows you to remain wallowing in the same state He found you in. But it's grace that gets you out. Amen. And I believe will keep you out by the grace of God. All right. Proverbs chapter number 16. I'm going to read one verse. Verse number 32. You know the book of Proverbs. The verses are not necessarily connected like most other books of the Bible. And many of the books of the Bible, by the way, are letters, and they're connected one to the other. The Proverbs are many times individual sayings that have been placed in here. Many of them are connected in other places to each other. For example, the one we're going to read about a man being slow to anger, that's all through the book of Proverbs. He deals with about being slow to anger. And but they're not put in here together. They're not in the sequence together. So when I read this verse, I'm not reading it and just using this one verse not to do it out of context, but rather it's in its own context. That's how these verses are set. And so I hope you'll see that and that we'll get some help from this verse. The Bible says, verse 32 of Proverbs chapter number 16, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." I want to read that verse again. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." I want to build on that phrase, that last phrase. First Almighty is better than the mighty. Here, he that ruleth his spirit, and I could interject the words, is better than. It would fit there because he's playing on those words. You see that? He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. I want to try to preach tonight on this thought. Self-control is better than city conquering. Self-control is better than city conquering. Amen. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace. Baldus. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Help us, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Help us. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Yes. I know there's many needs amongst us tonight. Many families. And yes. Lord, help. Have special needs and family needs. And I pray, God, that you look on us with great mercy. Yes, Lord. Do it. Help and bless us. Do that which needs to be done and only you can do. Yes. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for saying you can be seated. Amen. Appreciate that good prayer. This proverb that I'm dealing with deals with the inner man. Its teaching actually reaches deeper than just our religious actions. By the way, real wisdom, that's what Proverbs is about, wisdom. Real wisdom does more than just curbs your actions. It curbs your attitudes. Amen. It works on your attitudes. And true wisdom properly deals with the intellect and the will of man. In other words, causing us not only to know what's right, but to long to do what's right. Amen. And it's one thing to know. That's maybe that's just smartness or intelligence to know what's right. But wisdom is to long to do what you know is right. Amen. And I believe that it is one thing to know and believe what is right. then it's an entirely different thing to act right and behave correctly. Amen. Especially when our emotions are stirred up. Amen. Especially when our sentiments, our feelings are involved. Many times it's easier to know what's right than it is to do what's right. Now, what Solomon is attempting to do here, he's attempting to teach his son some wisdom. And by the way, when he's doing that, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he's teaching us as well. Amen. He's trying to teach us some wisdom to learn to govern ourselves. Amen. When I was my first encounter with the word governors was not talking. I was not thinking about a political office, but was thinking about what caused school buses not to be able to run, but just so fast. They have governors that tone them down. By the way, when I was in school, they let 16-year-old boys drive a school bus. They needed governors. Amen. They needed somebody to slow them down. Amen. And by the way, everybody does, to some degree, need a governor. We need an overseer. We need somebody with some restraints upon us. Amen. Some leadership in our life. So he's trying to teach us to govern ourselves. And if we'll do that, then we'll be better off. But because many times we cannot govern our circumstances. We cannot control our circumstances, but he's trying to teach us to learn to control ourselves, even though we can't always control our circumstances. Amen. Now, every parent knows that a child can be made to properly behave themselves under the parental eye. But we'll know that child has reached a state of maturity when they have learned to govern themselves without our governing influence. Amen. In other words, when they learn to behave properly out from under our care, we will know then that they have reached a state of maturity that we've longed for them to reach. Amen. And God wants us to learn to do right in our own hearts. That's the goal that I'm shooting at, and that's what he's talking about in this verse, I believe. That we learn to do right in our own heart, that we learn to respond to things correctly from our heart. Amen. Rather than just being robots that perform the action that is prescribed to them. He wants us to want to do right things. Now, in our verse, there are two groups of people, and they're each listed twice. There's one group called the mighty that taketh a city. That's one group of people. The mighty and he that taketh the city is one group. The second group is he that is slow to anger and he that ruleth his own, I put in the word own, spirit. He that is slow to anger and he that ruleth his spirit is the second group. Amen. Now, let me take this verse and preach you a sermon, if I can, by which we might learn to govern ourselves. We might learn to hold the same values that our Lord holds, and that we might learn to recognize areas in which we can do exploits for our God. Amen. Now, first of all, I want to say this. I got 3 points and I'll be done. First of all, I want to say valor is honorable. Amen. Valor is honorable. Our verse again, Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than he that is mighty. Now that tells me that that mighty man is esteemed highly. He just says he that is slow to anger is esteemed higher.
Right.
Amen. But he does say that he that is mighty has a certain amount of esteem to him. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. When the conquerors come marching home, they come home and should come home to a parade. They should come home to a group that is welcoming them and honoring them for their exploits and for their acts of bravery and valor. Amen. But he's saying he that keepeth his spirit, or he that is slow to anger and that ruleth his spirit is better than the mighty man and is better than those that conquer and take a city. Now the word mighty in verse number 32 of chapter 16 is translated valor 7 times in the King James Bible. It's Strong's number 1368. It is translated mighty many more times, but it is translated valor 7 times. I took these verses and looked them each one up. I'll just tell them to you. If you want to look at them later, I'll give you the list if you'd like. In 1 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 2, there's a list of mighty men, and it says they were valiant men of might in their generations. These whose number was in the days of David 2 and 20,000, and 600. It's talking about sons of Issachar as David's numbering the people. And it says that these men, 2,000 and 20,600, were valiant men. That word valiant man or men is the same word translated here in Proverbs as mighty. Again, it's translated 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 5. And their brethren among all the families of Issachar were valiant men of might, reckoned in all by their genealogies 80,000. Again, the phrase valiant men is the same word translated as mighty in Proverbs 16:32. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 26. Also, the valiant men of the army were, and it lists these men. And 2 Chronicles 13, verse 3, at the end of that verse it says, being mighty men of valor. Again, that word is the word translated in valiant, and valor is translated mighty Proverbs 16:32. Song of Solomon, two times it's listed in Song of Solomon, chapter number 3, verse 7. It says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 80 valiant men round about it, of the valiant of Israel. Both times, that word valiant is the same Hebrew word translated mighty in this scripture. And then one last time, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible said, and they bend their tongues like bows for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. So he's talking about these men not being valiant for truth. It's the same word translated mighty in Proverbs 16:32. I'm laying that groundwork to say this. God does honor valor.
Right.
Amen. 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 There was a time when young boys were taught to be valiant. They were encouraged to be brave and to be bold. Amen. Amen. They played like they were cowboys conquering the Wild West. They were soldiers fighting to rid the world of tyrants and communism. Amen. They were explorers conquering the mountains, exploring caves, charting the wilderness. Amen. Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett, men like that were their heroes. Amen. And they looked up to many of those men, and young boys strive to be that. Amen. But in the last few generations, I'm afraid, this attitude has been shifted away from bravery and boldness to tolerance and acceptance. It seems to me as if nothing is considered worth fighting for, nothing is considered worth standing up for. Amen. Now, when I'm saying that, I'm not just complaining about how things are, but I want us to see and recognize it, because we have the ability to change that in our own life, in our own family, and in those that we have dealings with. Amen. I believe that we ought to attempt to recapture the pioneering American spirit. Amen. It was that spirit, the pioneering American spirit. I'm not talking about American pride. Pride's a bad thing. But I am talking about trying to achieve something to bring glory to our God. Amen. Trying to be masters, chivalry, all that kind of stuff. Boldness, bravery, valor is a good thing, not a bad thing. Amen. Amen. I believe it was that spirit that caused us to overcome Britain in the first place. It was that spirit that caused us to defeat the Nazis and the kamikazes of World War II. Amen. It was that spirit that made us first on the moon. Amen. I don't know if you believe we went there or not. Some people don't believe we went to the moon. Amen. But if anybody's been there, it's been an American. Say amen right there. It's because of that pioneering spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, here's... In religion, it was that spirit. I'm talking about the pioneering spirit. In religion, it was that spirit that caused Baptists to stand on their beliefs, even though they were hunted, they were hated, and they were slaughtered by the Catholics by the millions. Amen. It was that spirit that caused them to stand up for what they believed. Amen. It was also that spirit which caused young men and women to turn their backs on the comforts and securities of home and brave the jungles and the wilderness and the deserts of the heathen to get them the gospel. Amen. Now we're living in a day where we seem to have lost that pioneering spirit. Amen. Well, I'm not saying that we ought to teach our boys to be mean and hateful, but I am saying we ought to teach them to be men. Amen. We ought to teach them to be strong. We ought to teach them to be brave. Amen. Amen. And by the way, even girls should be taught not just to go along with every wind of doctrine, every wave of fashion of society. Amen. They ought to be taught to stand up for what they believe in. They ought to be taught to be able to withstand ridicule. Amen. Because the world's going to mock you if you live any part of a holy life. Amen. Amen. You ought to be able to stand for what you believe in. In short, we need valor back in our society. We need valor back in our Christianity today. Amen. I'm saying again, valor is honorable. We should salute the soldiers that stood in harm's way so that we might be safe from harm. Amen. We should honor the hard-working men who go to work in heat and cold in order to provide food on our table and a roof over our head. Amen. Amen. We should give our kids some heroes to look up to instead of these limp-wristed, sandy-pants-wearing hoodlums of Hollywood. Amen. That these kids today seem to find attractive. I don't see anything attractive in that. Amen. Amen. When I see these fellas walking around like they do, and their pants hanging down, my foot is attracted towards their rear end. That's the only thing attractive about that I find. Amen. That's true. That's true. But I am saying, I don't, amen. That's right. Amen. Well, valor is honorable. Number two, virtue is even more honorable. That's what our text is telling us. Valor is honorable, but virtue is even more honorable. Read our verse again. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, having decried the need for valor in this day and age, we would probably all agree that virtue is even more neglected and even more needed than valor is. Amen. Our text says that valor is honorable, but that virtue is even more honorable. Our text says the mighty are to be bragged upon, but that virtue is even more honorable than that. Amen. Virtue and the man who controls his spirit and is able to contain his wrath is even more worthy of praise, amen, than the mighty. That's what he said. The city conquering hero, or I should say, the city conqueror is a hero, but even more heroic is the person who is a self-conqueror. Amen. He's able to conquer his own spirit. This is demonstrated, by the way, God demonstrates this throughout the Bible, but I chose one verse, Nahum, chapter number 1, verse number 3. Nahum says this, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." God reveals his might in the fact that he can control the wind and he can control his own wrath. That shows some might. Amen. I'm going to tell you the amazing thing I find of God is not in what he can do, but is in what he does not do. Amen. I thought about it. I wrote it down this way. It is no wonder that God destroyed the world by flood in Genesis chapter 6 because the wickedness of man was great in the earth. But it is a wonder that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. God spared Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wife. And that shows the might of God. That shows the power of God. In that God didn't just wipe everybody out and does not wipe everybody out, but still has grace in this day. Amen. Amen. General David Petraeus. Most all of us know his name, at least as adults. Know the name, General David Petraeus. He was a graduate of Princeton. I looked it up today to see he was a much decorated soldier. I looked it up to see, and the list that I saw, there was over two pages listing of the decorations that David Petraeus gained. He was a graduate of Princeton. He led our armed forces in battle in both Iraq and in Afghanistan. He was a highly decorated and honored soldier and was handpicked by President Barack Obama to head the Central Intelligence Agency. However, General Petraeus was humiliated by a scandal that broke out concerning his extramarital affair with a woman who wrote his biography by the name of Paula Broadwell. He was forced to resign in shame in 2012. This is just one case of someone who understood valor and yet had no virtue. Alexander the Great was so valorous, he was so bold, that he nearly conquered the world by his daring. And yet, in an angry rage, he killed his best friends. Personally, killed his best friends. And through his inability to control his own lusts and desires, he died as a young man from alcoholism, most people believe, is how he died. Drank himself to death at a young age. I'm saying these men that I've read to you did great escapades in the external battlefield, but they lost the war in the internal battlefield.
Right.
They were able to lead great armies and do great feats, but they were not able to control their own desires. They were conquerors of the world and yet were conquered by their own worldliness. Amen. That's a fulfillment, by the way, of Scripture. If you're in Proverbs, turn over just a few pages to chapter 25 and verse 28. I'll show you what the Bible says about this, and it ties with our verse. I'm going back to our verse in a minute. Proverbs 25, verse 28. The Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Amen. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. These men had valor, but they had no virtue. And because they could not control themselves, they tore their own house down with their own hands. They destroyed their own life. They destroyed their own legacy by their own hands. Now, I'm back to my verse in Proverbs 16:32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." I want you to think with me just a minute. Think of the cleverness and the brilliance that it might take to conquer a city, to wage war, to conquer a country, to successfully overcome and invade a city, takes cleverness and takes brilliance. But God says that the man who can wage war on his own emotions, can conquer his own temptations, and can successfully overcome his own temper is better. Amen. It's better than the clever man and the brilliant man that can conquer a city. Think of the courage and the boldness that it takes to stand up to enemies with the guns blazing and the bombs falling. It takes courage and boldness. But God says that the person who can stand up to his own feelings and can determine to respond properly to situations and circumstance is better. Amen. So God says, control is better than cleverness and courage. Amen. I'd like to let that sink in because it blessed me when I saw that. Control is better than cleverness or courage. Matthew Henry said this. I got the quote. He said, "The conquest of ourselves and our own unruly passions requires more wisdom and more steady, constant, and regular management than the obtaining of a victory over the forces of an enemy. It is harder and therefore more glorious to quash an insurrection at home than to resist an invasion from abroad. Nay, such are the gains of meekness that by it we are more than conquerors." Amen. I love the way Matthew Henry said things. He said it takes a lot more to quash an insurrection at home in our own heart than to stop an invasion from outside. Amen. John Gill said it this way. He said, "One that has the command of his temper, that can govern himself and not suffer his passions to exceed due bonds, is superior in strength to him that can storm a castle or take a fortified city. It is easier to do the one than the other." John Gill said again, just what the Bible said, it is easier for us to capture a city than for us to gain control of our own spirit. But Proverbs says it is better to get control of our spirit than to capture a city. Proverbs says if you don't capture your own spirit, your city will be captured, is what he's saying. Amen. Overcoming tempers, overcoming temptations is comparable to overcoming tyrants. Amen. God says overcoming tempers is better. God says overcoming temptations is better. Amen. Just as muscles are built up by exercising them, spiritual strength does not just happen either. We must exercise our will. Amen. Amen. You ought to, was it Monday night that Ed Ballou was preaching? I believe it was Monday night, whatever night this week that Ed Ballou preached, and he talked about they that love God hate evil. He said you ought to practice hating some things. He said you ought to get in front of the mirror and you ought to practice on saying, I hate that. Amen. And I just imagine the face that he made when he did that. But he said, we're in a day when people love everything and tolerate everything. And whenever he said that, that wasn't yesterday he said that. That was a long time ago that he said that. And we're down the road even further to this day. Amen. I'm saying we ought to practice saying no to some things. Amen. It do us good to learn to say no to ourselves. Amen. 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 Well, we ought to, I'm talking about this exercising our will, forcing ourselves to hold our tongue rather than saying what we want to. Amen. Refraining from getting upset over something someone said or did, or what they didn't say or didn't do. Amen. Refusing to get mad. Allow yourself to get mad. Did you know you can control a lot of your emotions? You can control it. You say, I can't control it. You can control it. Amen. You say, how do you know you can? Because God's going to hold you accountable for it. How can He hold you accountable for what you're not responsible for? Amen. There's a whole lot of things. We think other thoughts that kindle fires that make us even angrier. Amen now. I know I'm in my own pea patch and I'm probably in yours. Amen. Sometimes we allow our thoughts, when something upsets us, we immediately run after something else that's going to stoke our fire even more, amen, and make us even more angry when we could choose not to do that, amen. We could choose to think on something else. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm talking about disciplining ourselves. Disciplining ourselves to look away when someone is immodest. Amen. Controlling our spirit, limiting our words, restricting certain thoughts and feelings, etc., and submitting to the Holy Ghost. We need to practice those things. That is because virtue is even more honorable. Amen. Now, the opposite of discipline is indulgence, right? The opposite of discipline is indulgence. If we indulge in the wrong foods, we'll pay for it. It will affect our body. It will affect our health. Amen. Amen. I'm not in any position to be preaching to you about a healthy diet. I'm trying to get healthier. And I'm not talking about heavier sometimes. Well, he's healthy, ain't he? Amen. I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm trying to work the other direction. It don't always work that way. I love to eat too much. But I'm saying this. Whether it's how much we eat or what we eat. Sometimes some people have allergies. They know they need to stay away from certain things. Sometimes people have diseases. They know they need to stay away from certain things. I'm just saying there. If we indulge ourselves, it's going to affect our physical health. Isn't that right? Amen. Well, if we indulge in the wrong company, it's going to affect our attitude. Amen. You young men in here, if you start hanging around with other young men that talk filth and foolishness, you're going to become filthy and foolish. Right. Amen. If you allow yourself, I've talked to the young men, how about the older men? If you allow yourself to hang around fellas that's talking wrong, it's going to affect you. Amen. Young ladies, if you sit around and watch things or listen to things that's wrong, it's going to affect you. What you listen to, the company you keep, will affect your attitude. It always does. Amen. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. Amen. If we indulge in the wrong foods, it'll affect our health. If we indulge in the wrong company, it'll affect our attitude. If we indulge in the wrong thoughts, it will affect our actions. Amen. Amen. God applauds those who control themselves. Amen. Amen. That's the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I'll show you Paul's testimony. I'm winding her down. I'm not done. I got one more point that's got a lot more verses. But I want to show you 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse number 24 through 27. It's Paul's testimony, how he controls himself. The Apostle Paul would be a great example to pattern ourselves after. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, that I may bring it into subjection. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul talks about a physical thing, and he likens it, he relates it, illustrates it by talking about a physical race. And when he's talking about this race, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Every one of them runs their best, right? But he says only one of them gets first place. They all try. But only one of them gets first place. But look what he goes on to say. In verse 25, he ties in with that. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. When there's a race going on, let's say there's 20 runners getting ready to run in a race. Only one of them is going to win first place. How many of them do you think eat good that morning? How many of them do you think exercise the day before? How many of them do you think practice in their racing before that time? Not just the one that's going to win, but the one that's going to come in last. Every one of them, that's what he's saying. All of them are temperate in all things. And so Paul said to us, we may not be as far down the track as somebody else is, but we ought to be striving to get on down the track. We may not be able to run like somebody else does, but we ought to be striving to run the best we can run to bring glory and honor to Christ. Amen. My goal and my job is not to outrun you, but my job and my goal is to run the best I can run for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when I get done, I can hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Not just the man that had 5 turned to 10 talents, but the man that had 2 turned to 4 did just the same as far as God gave him the reward. Amen. The point was they all ran all they could run, and they did all they could do for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. It's not a competition that I'm trying to outdo you or you're trying to outdo me, but it ought to be we're trying to do more than we've ever done and do all we can do for the glory and honor of Christ. Amen. Now, Paul says, I keep under myself. Look at verse number 26. He says, I therefore so run. He's not talking about physically running. He's talking about the race he's running spiritually. Right? So therefore I so run not as uncertainly. So fight I, again, not a physical fight, not a fist fight, but a fight of faith. He said, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. Amen. Paul's recognizing who his greatest enemy is. He's not in competition with the fellows around him. Amen. And his enemies are not those that surround him or even those ahead of him. His enemy is in his own flesh and blood. And he said, I've got to do battle with that, and I've got to beat that down, and I've got to control that if I'm going to run, if I'm going to fight, if I'm going to finish for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now this thing about keeping down ourselves, that means making ourselves eat right, making ourselves read our Bibles, making ourselves pray right, making ourselves go to church like we're supposed to, making ourselves be a witness like we know we ought to, making ourselves do those things we know is right, conquering ourselves so we can conquer the city for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now Paul's a good example. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. I heard a man preach one time out in Kansas, and he made the comment about Paul. It wasn't this text. It was another Paul talking about reproving. And he made this comment about how Paul always did. And it's right. He talked about this in himself. You reprove only to improve. Amen. In other words, you beat down yourself not to abuse yourself. That's not what Paul's talking about. But he's talking about that I might improve myself for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Well, Paul's a good example of a mature and successful Christian. Amen. He worked at being a better Christian all the time. Amen. Amen. He worked at getting control and conquering his own spirit. Amen. Well, I said, valor is honorable. Virtue is even more honorable. And lastly, let me say this, victory is available. I believe it's right. Our text, I'll go back to our text. Let me read it from here because I've done turned my page in my Bible. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. This tells me you can be slow to anger. This tells me we can rule our own spirit. Amen. It is possible. Now, when I say getting the victory, I am not talking about an eradication of the nature. I am not talking about reaching a plateau that you'll never have to deal with it again. No. But I am talking about it is possible moment by moment, day by day, time after time, that we can make the right decisions and we can go on for God and we can please God and we can finish our course in the faith. Amen. We don't have to be shipwrecked. That's the point I'm trying to make. Amen. Victory is available. Turn with me to Psalm chapter number 37. I'd love to read this whole psalm. I thought about just reading the whole thing. 40-something verses. I don't know. It might be 40. Let me look at Psalm 37. Yeah, 40 verses of Psalm 37. I'd love to read the whole thing to you. Let me encourage you to go home and read it. All right? You say, I will if I ever get to go home. But I want to read some. These are familiar. This is a familiar psalm, by the way. If you start reading, you're going to find a lot of verses in here you'll recognize. But I want to read the first few verses, the first eight, right quick. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For, and by the way, envy is something in your own spirit. And he said, you can conquer it. Fear is something in your own spirit. And he said, you can conquer it. Amen. Fret not thyself against evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. There's our slow to wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He said, don't allow these evil thoughts. By the way, everybody wants to give somebody a piece of their mind sometime or another. Amen. And some people do. They've done it so often that they have very little mind left. It is true. Some people, they'll snap at you in a moment. Amen. And I'm going to say something about it. And the Bible says to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Amen. If you fuss at the waitress and then leave her a tip at the end, you're probably not going to win her. Amen. I said a tip, leave her a track at the end. You're probably not going to win her by fussing at her. You see where I'm going? My point is this. Sometimes we want to say something. We need to control ourselves that we'll just not say what we want to say. We'll ask God to help us want to do better things. Amen. If we would look at them, instead of, for example, I'll just give you an illustration. There are times when things need to be said. There are times when maybe you need to be pointed about things. But for example, you see somebody and they're not dressed right. They may not need you to just bring up the fact they're not dressed right. That may be a sign saying, I need the Lord. I need somebody to show me the love of Christ. I need somebody to share Christ with me. Amen. 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 All right, well, that didn't go over, but I believe it's right. Amen. Psalm 37, look at the last two verses, verse 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. You know why they trust in Him? Because they've chosen to. They've decided to. Amen. You can trust Him or not trust Him. You can worry yourself to death. Amen. And if that's your phone ringing, you ought to be worried. Amen. I'm picking on her. All right. I'm picking on her. No, but you can worry over troubles, or you can give them to God. And you say, preacher, that's easier said than I know that. But you can work on training yourself to say, Lord, I am going to trust you. I want you to help me. You can say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen. You can get to the point that you say, I'm going to make up my mind by the grace of God. I am going to trust in Christ. You say, how can I do that? Here's what the Bible said. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children. Amen. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. God is bigger than your problem, amen, and He can help you overcome your problem if you will trust Him and allow Him, amen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or which strengthens me, amen. We can overcome the situation. We can overcome the circumstance if we can learn to overcome ourselves, amen. In conclusion, I'm closing with this. We can overcome the world. But we must first overcome our own laziness, our own laxness, and our own lust. Amen. We've got to get to the place, we've got to work on letting the mind of Christ be in us. We've got to work on keeping our minds stayed on God. Amen. That's all scriptures. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Which was also in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Philippians 4:7-8, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How many times are we guilty of thinking on our problems, thinking on sin, and almost making it a foregone conclusion that we're going to fail? When we don't have to fail.
Right.
If we'll run this race with patience. Now here, I'll tell you how you run with patience. You know how you run with patience? You don't get all upset about who's in front of you or who's coming up behind you. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You run this step, and then you run the next step, and then you run the next step, and then you run the next. That's how you run with patience. I believe that's right. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll get the musicians to come. We'll get an invitation song. If God spoke to your heart, you'd like to come around the altar and pray. I believe every individual needs to ask God to help them get control of their own passions. When I say passions, feelings, emotions, tempers, and temptations. Amen. We need to ask God to help us get control of that so that we don't dishonor Him. But we can bring Him honor and we can bring Him glory. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Thank You for letting us look at this verse of Scripture, so great a verse. Lord, You said valor is honorable, but virtue is even more honorable. Lord, help us be virtuous Christians, that our light could shine, Your light could shine through us, that men might see our good works. But they might glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Father, I know my frame, or at least I know some of it. You know better than I know. And these folks, they know, many of them, their own failures, their own shortcomings. Lord, help us to turn it over to You. Help us to work on them. Make some determinations in our life. By the grace of God, we're not going to give in to the flesh. We're not going to give in to fears. We're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith that we might glorify and please our Savior. That we might overcome the world, because faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Lord, I pray that You'd help us in that matter. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. While we sing, if you need to come, would you come do business with the Lord?
157.
157.